Tzadik Viraloi. The sugya of Tzadik Viraloi Rosh of the Toivlois. Pasuk here says, Amar believe about Baal Emot Lidor Vador. The Rasha says in his heart, I put everyone on mute because I'm getting some background. Okay. Omar Beliboy Baal Emol Lidor Vador. The Rasha says in his heart, I will not falter for generations. Asher Loi Vira. Now what does that mean? Let's see the Nitsudoi Stavit Pasik Vav. Omar Beliboy Lizois Choshev Shlo Yintel Li Olam Lios Mushbol Oretz. Lidor Vador Afli Achar Kamador Yatzliach. The low yire vira. According to the Mitzudah Stav, when it says here in the pasuk, "V'lo yivra," means he will not see ra. Nothing bad will ever happen to this evil, to this person. The Rasha says, "I will be successful for generations. My legacy." What did Hitler Yimach Shmo say? It's a thousand year Reich. Why do you only say 1,000 years?
10,000 year. Was it 1,000 or 10?
Thousand.
A thousand.
I always wondered, why did he say only 1,000? Why once you're ready, crazy? Why did he only say 1,000? Can't ask a kasha on the Rasha. On the Meshugana and the Rasha, you can't ask any kashas. But over here, what he said over here is really what it says in the Pasuk. The Pasuk over here says, I'm a Lubal Balema Lidar Vadar. I will not falter forever. The 1,000 Reich. Asher Loi Vera, and I will never see evil. Rashi, Pasuk Vav. Lidor Vadar Ashalov Ra Loy Sova Alai Ra'ov Lidoy Sai to my generations. Okay, let's look over here on the bottom. There is no, we did already, that was fun. Let's go further. Pasik Zayin. Allah Fihu Mole Allah Fihu Mole Umirmois Vasoich Tachas Lashoinoi Omol Va'oven period. And what does that all that mean? It's hard Pasik. Pasuk Lasilim Mitzvah Yisrael Pasuk Zayin. The Pasuk Allah Memalei Piv Bishvua Shav Umirma. The Rasha, his mouth is filled with false oaths and deceit. So Allah, a more precise translation, Allah means an oath. Look over here in the Mitzvah Sion. Mitzvah Sion says the word Allah means Shavua Kamo Vishama Kol Allah Vasoich. What does the word Vasoich mean? These are all new vocabulary words, at least for me. Vasoich means Mirma, deceit. Hanistar b'roiv halev. Vasoich is a certain type of deceit that's deep within the heart, in the subconscious. Deep in the subconscious, this person is filled with he swears, and he is filled of deceit. Okay, so Allah fihu how Allah a shvua. Let's go back to the mitzvahs. Mimalei piv b'shvua shav umirma. So Allah piyu molei umirmois vosech. So there's no way you can read these words in order. You have to change the order of the words in order to make sense of this pasuk, which means over here, piyu molei, his mouth is full with Allah umirmois this vosech. Now, okay, the words umir mois vasoich, it would appear from the Mitzudah stuff, these two words go together. You'll ask why then, is there a vav? I don't know. Because toich means obviously within. Besoich ami anochi yosheves. Right? Toich means on the inside, deep inside. Mirma is deceit.
So inner thoughts.
Inner thoughts, inner deceit. Now the question over here is, I don't know, is vasoich completely separate from mirma? There's something called deceit on the outside, and then there's a deceit on the inside. Are they two separate things, or are they one? Or are they one in the same? Are they together? If they would be together, then it's disturbing. Why is there a vav? It should say mirmas toich. Why is it two separate words, mirma or mirma vosoich? So that would seem to indicate that there are two different types of mirma. There's a mirma that's more external, and there's a mirma that is hidden. Look at the Mitzvah Stavit.
In other words, they obviously didn't mean what they said. They had in mind already what they were going to do, I guess. But, you know, they were, when you're, sometimes people are out in front, I'm going to kill you.
Okay. So, but it's over here, in the Mitzvah Stavit, on this, look at the word Vasech Ingen Birma. Hanistar b'seichalev. So it would appear from the Mitzvah stuff that it's two separate things. There's something called mirma, there's deceit. That is a deceit that is out in the open. Vosoich is a completely different type of deceit. It's a hidden deceit. You have a hidden agenda. And that's why there's a vav. And the word toich, toich is a borrowed term. It doesn't mean deceit. Toich just means inside. Besoich ani anochi yoshades. It means inside. And here in the context, the word means a hidden agenda. So now, if you look at the pasuk, you have to do our classic rule. Do not read the words in order. The words must be read out of order. You have to start with the word pihu mole. Skip the first word. The Rasha, his mouth, is full of garbage. What kind of garbage? What's the garbage? Number one, there's Allah. Number two, there's Mirmois. And number three, there is Toich. There are three different types of deceit that this wicked man who comes out of his mouth. Pihu mole.
David goes to Shitato. He goes in
order.
Male, and then Mirmah, and then inside more. From full to inside.
From the outside to the inside.
Yeah.
You go, there's a Seder. From the outside, a shoe is in Bezdin. An Allah you make in Bezdin. You're right, you're saying you make in public. You make an oath in public. Then there's Mirma, what you say, not in Bez, not in public, but you speak freely among your friends. And then there is Toich, what's really hidden in your heart. You're saying, Gval Gavart. Rav Kalman is always on the mark. You're saying over here, we're going over three different types of deceit. There's a Seder from publicity, and Allah, Shavu is taken in public. A Mirma is when you talk to your friends, you sit in the restaurant, you go talk, you say all these crazy things. And Toich is only what you know, all the garbage that's inside of your heart. And this one is over here, and even though we have to read the pasuk out of order, the key is to understand that when you read these pasuk, you have to read the words out of order in order to make sense. Mole, piu mole, his mouth is full with Allah, umir mois, and vasoich. Let's go further in the mitzvah of David. Tachas lishna the pasuk, tachas lishna amol v'oven. Underneath his tongue, now you're going to say even further, you're saying, well, it's tachas underneath his tongue, is amol v'oven, mitzvah is David, the mitzvah is here, is on the next page 89. Tachas l'shanay kofal adavah b'mi l'shanay. We have poetic repetition. Okay, good. What is the mitzvah? See on to the game. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, back in the previous page on page 86. Rashi says, Vosoich. Rashi is only coming to comment on one word. The word of Vosoich means l'shanay machashava v'ra'ah. It's an evil thought. Halana b'soichai tamid. Again, it's saying exactly the same thing as the mitzvah David. The word toich is a borrowed term. It means inside. It's b'soichai. It's within the person continuously. There's an evil machshava. Next page, not finished. Next pasuk. Pasuk ches. Yeshev b'marav. The evil man, he sits in ambush. He lies in ambush. B'marav chatzirim. So he sits in the courtyards. Okay, we're going to have to read the words out of order. And let's go through the basic gist, and we'll come back and read the words in the right order. Yeshev b'marav chatzedim. He sits in ambush. He lies, he waits in ambush in the courtyards. B'mistorim yaharoik. He kills, murders innocent people in secret places. Yaharoik noki. Okay, we put those two words together. He kills innocent person. Einav L'chelcha yitzboinu. His eyes, L'chelcha in the Mitzvah of David, he translates it to mean the poor person. The word L'chelcha is an unusual word, at least for me. Right. It's a new word, a new vocabulary word. It refers to a poor person. We know the word of an ani, an evyoin, a dal. We had a whole discussion about three different words. Dal, ani, ve'evyoin. It appears we have now a rush. Dal, ani evyon, Rabbi Mersky just said rush, a poor person. Okay, there's another word over there. The other word here is lechei lecha, mitzudai stavid, lechei lecha, in yonai kingin ani v'cholush. It means weak, cholush. Cholush means a weakness. So here we take that description and we use it as a noun. A person that is weak, a cholush, he is called a chei lecha. Mitzudah Sion, in Yonai Kinyan, Ani V'Chalush, V'Demulah, B'Mikrois, Shela Achrav. We're going to have this word more. So keep this word in mind. Mitzudah is David on this pasuk. Let's go back and read the whole Mitzudah on this pasuk. Back, here it is on the right over here. Tachas L'Shoinoi. We did it already. Pasuk Ches in the Mitzudah is David on page 89. Yeshev, Harosha Yoshev, B'Marav HaChatzerim. The wicked person, he sits in lying in ambush on the streets. V'loicheid es hanoki, he captures the innocent person, the horogoy baseser, and he murders him secretly. Einof, his eyes. Oysa atzmai kimastir ayin, what does it mean, Einof? He makes himself kimastir ayin minhon, he makes believe that he's hiding himself from the poor person. Uchi ilu ein dayito yolav, he has no intent to harm him. Laval yin nishmar, so that the poor person should not be on guard. He deceives the poor person, he makes believe that he's not looking at him, but really he's checking him out, and he's waiting for the right opportunity to murder the poor person. Okay, so let's go back and read the pasuk again, but one more time before we begin. The pasuk here again on page.
Look at the Hebrew here. It's so beautiful. It's ponu. It's two meaning. Let's support.
To yearn. Yeah.
And also tzafun inside.
Hidden. Tzafun, play on the words.
Inside. The same word that he used for both. Harasha said both things. He looks and he has something in his heart toward the Ani. It's amazing.
Both, right. That's the Hebrew. That's the Shana Kodesh. You have one word, and one word can be interpreted in many different ways.
David is using it. It's a beautiful thing.
Okay, let's see how the whole Yeshev b'marav chatzerim. The person he sits, he's Yeshev. He sits b'marav chatzerim. He sits in the courtyards. He lies in ambush. B'mistodim yaharoig ani. In secret places, he kills the innocent person, so he should not get caught. And Einav l'chelecha yitzpoinu, as Rabbi Kalman just said, he's hiding. L'chelecha means the poor person. Einav, he makes believe. It's a hard translation. Yitzpoinu, the way he's using the word yitzpoinu literally in this pasuk, yitzpoinu is tzafun. Tzafun over here means he's hidden. He's hidden. He hides. You have to take the words, read the words out of order. Einav yitzfoinu. Take those two words together. He hides his gaze. Einav, the subject of Einav are the eyes of the Rasha. The Rasha makes it that his eyes are tzofun, just like Pesach Seder. We take the matzah and we put the matzah away. It's tzofun. The Rasha, he takes his eyes and he diverts them so that the poor person should not know that he is about to be attacked. Einav yitzpoinu, so that at the right moment he can attack l'chelecha, the poor. L'chelecha comes from the word chalosh, a weak person. A poor person is vulnerable. Let's see Rashi now. Pasuches, again on page 88. Einav, Rashi is only coming to comment on the second half of the pasuk. Einav, the eyes of the wicked, l'chelcha yitzpoinu, and we can read it out of order, but let's hear what Rashi says. Einav shel Esav. Rashi immediately, we notice, is going down the tract of Medrash. He's not discussing the average person. He's over here, he's drawing from the Medrash. We're discussing over here specifically Esav HaRasha. The eyes shel Esav, li Yisrael, sheheim chelcha, which is your strength or your wealth, ye'eroivu.
Is that the lashon of chelcha, the poor?
Oh no, so Rashi is disagreeing. Let's read the next Rashi. The next Rashi explains. What does it mean the word lechelecha? Olecha ye'azoiv chelecha. Wealth. Chelcha means li'yisrael oisechoyel. Chel means wealth and power. Let's continue reading. Rashi explains. Shneim bamosares. Both of these two words, the word chay lecha and the word here lechelcha, part of the Mesorah. Now Rashi over here is referring to what we mentioned many times, the Mesorah Gedoyla and the Mesorah Kitana. Okay, one of these days we're going to have to do this and have to learn this. We're going to have to spend some time with Hashem and the second part of Hashem going through these things. But I want to learn myself what these things are all about. There's something called the Mesorah Gedoyla and the Mesorah Kitana. In our editions of the Mikrois Gedolos, these things have been removed. They have been deleted. But it used to be, you go look in a nice old-fashioned Mikros Gedolos, they had on the side two things. One thing called the Mesorah Gedoyla and the other called the Mesorah Kitana. And most people have absolutely no clue what this is. It looks like a bunch of mumbo jumbo, bunch of letters, bunch of computer error, something like this was spit out by some random accident. It could be nothing further than the truth. the codes in these things, the Mesorah Gidoyim, the Mesorah Katana, are awesome. Incredible, incredible chacham. Whoever put this together was beyond, beyond brilliant. And basically, is that every time you have a word in the pasuk, the pasuk, you analyze the entire Tanakh. How many times does this word appear in Tanakh? And from the number of times it appears in Tanakh, how many times it is spelled with a komatz? And how many times is there a patach? How many times is it mole with a vav? How many times is it chaser? And there are two such works, two such bodies of work that have been done. One is called the Mesorah Gedoyla, and one is the Mesorah Ketana. One is a bit more elaborate, and the other one is more bekitzer. And the entire thing is written mostly in code words. And if you don't know the code, it doesn't just spell it and explain to you what it is. If you don't know the code, then the whole thing is meaningless. Doesn't make any sense. So here Rashi quotes this, the Mesoras, he is referring to the Mesorah Gedoyla or the Mesorah Ketana. You have to go see what it says over there. I was in the bookstore, I don't know, about a month ago, Beagle Eyes, and I think it was, and I saw someone put out a sefer, the Mesorah Gedoyla. I think it was the Mesorah Gedoyla. Basically, he took the entire Mesorah and he broke down the code for you in simple language and explained it, every single pasuk, piece by piece, what it says in the Mesorah. Okay, I didn't buy it because I don't even know what time of day it is sometimes. It's a little bit over my head, these type of things. But it's kedai to get an appreciation of what it's, this would be like, put the little zil and take that off the shelf over here. I don't know if he had it on the whole Tanakh, maybe he did. But over here, if you go look in the old Megros Gedolos, you would see right away what he's referring to. That, and by the way, the reason why there were these two bodies of work, the Mesorah Gedoyla and the Mesorah Ketana, was to guarantee that when someone, a sefer, writes a sefer, he should not make a mistake. And if there is a mistake, we can figure out there is a mistake. Because since the Mesorah tells exactly how many times in Tanakh this word appears, so if you take a person's manuscript, the person's writing, the person's copies over a Tanakh, and you discover there's something that's the discrepancy, there's something that's not right, so we can look in the Mesorah and we can see exactly how many times this word is supposed to appear. And if there's, in this person's version, there are too many times or too few times, or if it's not spelled the way the Mesorah says, you right away know that there's something that is wrong and there's something that has to be addressed. So here we have the word lichei lecha, alecha ya'azov chei lecha, another word, pasuk, and shnem b'mesores, koi melein, and then he goes on to say, ka mole hamishamish, or ka these melein hamishamshin, b'mokoyim chof, kigoyin uvecha uveamecha, tivuna u sincerecha, what does this mean over here? Limdanu, that's the, he's quoting from the Mesorah. Everything over here that he does have this in the Mesorah. Limdanu, Hamasores, Shechelcha Kumo Chelcha, Chayil Shelcha, your strength. Okay, so let's try. Over here, this is the Mesorah Gedolah. He's quoting over the Mesorah Gedolah. And the Mesorah Gedolah is enumerating all of the times where this word or this usage is found in Tanakh. And Rashi is using the Mesorah, something very powerful over here, not just to tell us the way it's spelled and the number of times the way the word appears, he's using it as a limud to define its meaning, which is awesome. The Mesorah, you know, when I was learned this the very first time, I was only taught that the purpose of the Mesorah Gedoyla and the Mesorah Ketana is nothing more like a concordatio. It's the old-fashioned concordance. That's what the way I was taught. The classic, the first concordance in that ever was published was by, I don't know, I guess the Kadmonim, the Rishonim, maybe before them, maybe the Tanoim. I don't know who wrote the Mesorah Gedoyla before Rashi. The Goinim. Okay, so we're going back. We're going back right before the Rishonim. We're going
around
back.
Around the year 800.
So 200 years before Rashi. Rashi is quoting the Mesorah, is quoting a work that was published, that was produced 200 years, not published, whatever it means, that was produced 200 years before Rashi. Rashi lived in the year 10, well, really 300 years. I'm sorry, 300 years. Rashi
was the last Gaul?
Of Hegel.
So he died when Rashi was born.
He died, right. He died the same time Rashi was born.
He died actually. Yeah, but it was many,
but
he said.
But the Goyim span, a few hundred years.
Rav Sadia Gaon was the first one.
He was towards the end of Rav Sadia Gaon.
No, Rav Sadia Gaon lived from 900 to 960.
Right, so he wasn't the first. He was towards the end of it.
He wrote a Sefer on Digma. And it's a lot of, I read some of the stuff I understand, and some of the stuff that he wrote, I have no clue what he's talking about.
Rav Sadia Gaon was in a class by himself.
He was self-taught.
He was a genius beyond genius. He was in class by himself. He had
a private tutor for when he was a kid in Egypt. He came to Bava.
A mathematician at Sagigal.
He was everything.
He was a major brain. Yeah, he was unbelievable. Rav Shreira Gaon is one of the most important things that we have to preserve the Mesorah, is the letter of Rav Shreira Gaon. Who wrote the Siddur? The Siddur was written by Rav Amram Gaon. The Siddur was written as a letter. Someone asked him, "What should we daven? I remember hearing someone from YU. He gave a shiur about the Siddur. He says, "If you go into a shul, where do you look for? You want a certain sefer. Where can I find this sefer? Well, excuse me, sir. Is the sefer you want a Gemara? We have a Gemara section.
Right.
You want a Shulchan Aruch? We have a Shulchan Aruch section. You want the Rishonim, a Rishon? Well, we have a whole section for the Rishonim. Achroinim? We have Achroinim. You want She'elos Uteshuvos? Shut. She'elos Uteshuvos? Responsa? Well, go to the back room over there. I just want a sitter. Don't interrogate me over here. Oh, you want a sitter? The sitter can be found in the She'elos Uteshuvos section. Why? Because that was the first sitter. Someone sent a letter to Rav Amram Gaon. What a question, Rebbe. When we pray in shul, what should we say for the Nusach HaTfilah? Oh, you're asking me a question. So let me respond, a teshuvah. Let me respond to you. I'll send you back a letter. This is what you should say when you daven to Hashem.
Before that, what did they say?
It's not clear what they said.
Exactly.
It's not so clear. People either they knew, they memorized it, they knew what to say, people just forgot, or people, there was a lot more liberty to say whatever you want to say. I don't know. It's not so clear.
They said something from the heart.
The Anshei Kines HaGadol, these are the Goyim. Obviously, the Nusach HaTzel that we have is from the Anshei Kines HaGadol. And that was, Anshei Kines HaGadol began in the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. So obviously, I mean, and the Nusach of the Baruch, so when they're sending a question to Rav Amram Gaon, what should we daven? It doesn't mean, tell us from the Alevis. Obviously, for how many, almost 1,000, how many years? For the Bayis Sheni is 420 years. And then it's now the year 800, let's make believe 800. So about 800 years or 700 years since the Bayis Sheni. So you're dealing with more than 1,000 years. Now, obviously, the Anshei Kines HaGadol did not formulate the Nusach HaTzel until at least towards the end of the Bayis Sheni, because the Anshei Kines HaGadol, it would appear that most of what they composed was towards the end. Anshei Kines HaGadol started in the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. They were 120 members of this body, like today, Lahavdil, the Moetzes Gedol Yisrael. Again, there's a certain body of rabbis, of big rabbis, the RCA. Whatever you want to say, whoever you're comfortable with, none of my business. It was a body of rabbis that dominated Orthodox Jewry. There was only one type of Jewry, but there was, and they were comprised of 120 members, no more, and in the beginning, no less. This was established towards the very beginning of the Bayis Sheni, and when someone died, he was replaced. There was a new person, a new budding Talmud Chacham that was voted to take his place. As time passed, they could not find candidates that were worthy, eligible to be admitted into the Anshei Kineses HaGadolah. And it began to wane. It went from 120 down. And towards the end of the Bayis Sheni, there certainly was not 120 people in the Anshei Kineses HaGadolah. And as time went on, eventually the whole thing became bottled. But that body of rabbis, they established the Nusach HaTfilah, they established many takonis, many, many mitzvahs, many, many things were established by them, and it cannot possibly be that Rav Amram Goin is going to make a Nusach. He's just coming to clarify what the Anshei Knesset HaGedoyla composed and how it should be recited. So Rav Amram Goin responded in the letter, this is the way you do it. It was a letter. And in that letter turned into our siddur. So if you go into a shul and you ask, where can I get a siddur? It's in the She'elois U'Teshuvois section of the Beis HaKnesses. That's what a siddur, that's how the siddur really came about.
I think it's for a different reason, because we ask Hashem and then he answers us.
Interesting, you're saying another nice part. You're saying good? Rav Eliezer over here is saying the reason why the siddur should be found is because you're asking Hashem, a she'ela, and Hashem replies to you, he answers your prayers. So the truth is, every time you dive into Hashem, it's a she'ela and a teshuva. So that's where they should put a big sign on top of the siddur, the siddur bookcase, she'elois u'teshuvois.
Obviously Hashem is not a Jew, because a Jew answers a question with another question.
She'elos shut. And then I remember, shut. What shut? Every time you're going to say she'elois u'teshuvois, you need some slang, acronyms. Shut is she'elois u'teshuvois.
Q&A.
Well, yeah. Q&A. Exactly. Q&A. Exactly. I never thought of that. That's right. Q&A. So now what about the Masorah? The Masorah, they took it out of the books. It's an incredible thing. They ripped it out of the Mikros Gedolos. There's no Masorah Gedolos. Even in the back, you would think Artsko would put it in the back at least. That would be a nice thing to do. True, but I guess no one even knows what it is anymore. It's the lost art, total lost art. Yeah. And yeah, to know the rules, how to decipher, you got to be a genius. And here, Rashi is quoting verbatim from the Masorah Gedola. And what is the Masorah Gedola all about? It's about, ordinarily, a concordance. To tell you how many times this word appears in Tanakh, and how many times... And how many times it's spelled this, or how many times it's spelled that way. And Rashi says, no, it's not just, that's not the only purpose of it. Because when you take all the words listed here in the Masorah Gedola and you analyze them, there has to be a common thread. There has to be a common thread. This word, according to Rashi, obviously is a difficult word. We never had it before. L'chei l'cha. We never had this word before. What does it mean? How do you read Pshat in the Pasuk? So the Mitzudas wasn't embarrassed. It means chalash. Chalash, it means weak. Where's the shin? Really, it means weak. Ches lamid chof. How does chalash turn into chelcha? Where did he get that? The Mitzudah started. Well, from the context of the pasuk, that's how he got it. Rashi is much more precise over here, and Rashi says, "Well, let's go to the Masorah Gedola, a new technique in studying Tanakh, and look at all the words that have this that are connected, and from the other words." Will be able to decipher what it means here in this pasuk, and there it relates to the word chel. The ikar is the ches and the lamed. The chaf is not part of the shoresh. The chaf is just a part of the word which indicates who we are referring to. You, me. What is that called in English? Who are we referring to? Part of the word, it's not the subject. Okay, the subject, good, very good. The chav is just there to define the subject. It's not there, it's not part of the essence of the word itself. And the proof is, look at the Masorah Gedola. Look at all the other words in Tanakh that have this use, and there it's clear, it's referring to the Iker letters of the letters Ches and Lamed, and the letters Ches and Lamed mean money, chel, strength. And the Rasha over here, in this context, means he's looking to steal the money of the poor man. The pasuk then means Einov. Einov, the eyes of the Rasha. L'cheilecha. Towards the money. The chel. The chayil. The strength. The weapons. The strength and the money and the precious items. Yitzpoinu. He waits in hiding. According to Rashi, the wicked person is waiting and hiding in order to steal money, steal someone's assets. Let's look over here. Look at the Rashi very quickly. Look at the last small line in Rashi. limdanu hamasores. The Mesoris has taught us shechelcha kmo chelcha chayil shelcha. Okay, so let's review this one more time. I don't know what all these words mean, but let's at least get an appreciation. At least, the very least, we should get an appreciation for the Mesora Gedoyla. Again, the words of the Pasuk begin is Einav lechelcha yitzvaynu. Einav shel Esav, the eyes of Esav, li Yisrael. They are li Yisrael shem chelcha, which is your towards Yisrael. Esav Harash is trying to harm the Jewish people. Sheheim chelcha. David HaMelech is saying something amazing. I didn't appreciate this. That's why it's good to always review. David HaMelech is saying to Hashem, Hashem, what is your strength? What are your assets? Hashem, what do you got in the bank? Do you have a Swiss bank account? Hashem, do you have cryptocurrency? What do you got in the bank, Hashem? You have gold, you have commodities, you have stocks. Let's see your portfolio. Let's open up the books. How much taxes did you pay, Hashem? Let's see what you got there. So Hashem says, the only thing I got in the bank is Klal Yisrael. That's what I got. That's my money. My money, my assets is not gold, silver, cryptocurrency, Swiss bank accounts. It's Klal Yisrael. That's my money. So, and Esav wants to devour Hashem's wealth. Rashi says, Einav lechelcha yitzponu, Einav shel Esav, the eyes of Esav, li Yisrael, they are looking, they are in envy, they're looking to steal the Jewish people. Sheheim, Klal Yisrael is chelcha. Klal Yisrael is your wealth, Hashem. That's your assets. Beautiful pasuk. Beautiful pasuk. Yeroivu, and they're lying in ambush. Now Rashi says, how do I know that? It's quite a chiddush. Quite a chiddush for Rashi to say that the word chelcha means power, strength, money, assets. How do I know that? Oh, so Rashi now goes on a whole long interpretation. We'll pull out the Mesora Gedoyla. If you never heard of the Mesora Gedoyla, so you go to the Young Israel Midwood, and in the Beis Medrash over here, they have on the right side of the shul, on one side they have here these old Mikros Gedolos, and they have one over here. I have an old set over here that has the Mesora Gedoyla, and let's see what it says there. Yeah.
Maybe instead of wealth, maybe it means army.
Okay, it's. I think that, okay. That's all related. Okay, it's because the it's all the same idea. It really means strength. It really means chel. Really means power, strength. What is strength? So for a nation, it's the military power. For an individual, it's their money. You're right. Okay. You're right. I accept.
Aisha
Schael, a woman of valor. Okay. You're saying, what is the word chel? Chel means whatever is valuable to you, whatever gives you. Correct. So right. But it doesn't mean poor. It's the complete. It's not a noun. It's not a noun describing a noun referring to a poor person. A rosh, dal, oni ve'evyon. And now we have a new word called chelcha. That's what the Mitzvot David says. Rashi says, no way. We have enough poor people in this world. Don't go in more people. Don't try to have more food stamps. We have enough problems. Don't need more poor people. It means just the opposite. It means wealth, power, strength, what you have pride in. What is Hashem's pride, strength, and power? Klal Yisrael. Esav is lying in ambush, trying to take this away from Hashem. And he proves this. He goes on to say, L'chelcha. He's now reading word for word from the Mesoris. L'chelcha. It says in the Pasuk, Olecha ya'azoiv chelecha. To you, they will abandon their strength. That's later on. We're going to come to later on. Then we have Shneim Bamasores. They're both of these words are part of the Masores. You have to really read the Masores to see exactly what it says there. And then he goes on to say more what it says in the Masores. Ko, and this he's reading the Masores now. The Masores there says, Ko Milayin Hamisham Shin. Nusach Acher is another version. Ka Mole HaMeshamesh. These words are Mole. The Meshamesh means the subject, as Mr. Murla says. The Meshamesh means the Chof. The Chof means who are you, him, I, them, they. You know, how do you finish off a word? Chem, Cha. The Yud means the E, K, the subject. So he says these words, both of these words in the Masoret says they are Malei HaMeshamshim, or they are b'makoyim chof. And all of these words that have this shoresh have a chof at the end in order to indicate that we are discussing you. Who is the you? Well, it depends on the context. Either refers to Hashem, refers to a person, David, whoever refers to. Kigoyim, uvecha, uveamecha. Okay, the same way in this word, you, there the cha means you, so too in this pasuk, when it talks about the chelcha means your chayil, your strength. Tivuna tin tzerecha. Understanding, I don't know what this means, even though we once learned this, to guard, tin tzerecha, you guard, you shall guard understanding. Kechol asher tzivisi oisocha. According to all that I have taught you, that's the pasuk. Hanitzavis imecha, who is standing here with you. Okay, he's just coming over here to go and tell you about the word chof. Now, going back, limdanu ha-mesores, the mesores has taught us, shecheilecha, the fact that this word is associated with the other word that he quoted in the very beginning, olecha ya'azoiv cheilecha. In the Mesoras, it groups this word in our pasuk with the word that we're going to learn later in the head, in Yerush Hashem, later pasuk, and only a few pasuk gedalit. The fact that they are joined together in the Mesoras is an indication, kimo, that just like there, it clearly, from the context, means wealth, power, an army, strength, kimo chelcha chayil shelcha. And that's what it means here. And Rashi, now you go back to the top of the Rashi, the very beginning, Einav shall Esav li Yisrael Sheheim, who are the Chilcha, they are your strength, Hashem. Ye'eroivu, they lie in ambush. They lie in ambush and try to take away, try to destroy what belongs to you, Hashem. Now we come to a new interpretation. Umenachim, our good friend Menachim. Posar Oysam, which Oysam, he has a new interpretation. What does he say? L'chilcha yitzbayinu v'chein ya'azoiv Lecha, kimo, the two psukim, the pasuk over here and the pasuk later on, it's similar. V'nafal ba'atzumav, it will fall ba'atzumav chelikoim. What does that mean? It will fall ba'atzumav. I don't know what the word atzumav means. It's mighty ones. Atzum chelikoim. They will fall. Let's see. Let's help him. So he explains. Inyan nimuchim umerudim. It means people that have been abused. The namuch, the lowly people, and the merudim, people that have been abused. Okay, that's a good word for that word. Merudim means people that are lowly and abused people. V'cha yisoid b'mila, and as we explained in this translation, the chof is not a part of the word that is just a description of the subject, but instead it's the etzem, it's the essence of the word, and it comes from the word namuch. Not like what the Mitzudas David said chalosh, he says namuch. The chof, that makes a lot of sense. The chof means lowliness, the lowly ones, the rasha. So what Menachem is saying is pretty much the same idea as what the Mitzudas David said. The Rasha is gazing, is secretly lying in ambush and waiting for the ideal moment, opportunity to attack and take advantage of the namuch, of the person, the poor man, who is lowly and is abused and is vulnerable to the wicked plans of the Russia. So to summarize, what have we done over here? Three different ways to look at this word. Again, go back to the Mitzudas David. He looks at this word namuch to mean like the word to mean chalosh. Go back to the Mitzudas David where he says l'chelecha in the Mitzudas Tzion. on page 89, Inyanoi could go Inyan Oni Vicholush. Okay, he doesn't say that it's mamish the word, but he just says what it means. It means a weak person. V'doymel b'mikroy shel acharav. Okay, so that's I think that's pretty much exactly what Rashi Menachem says. Menachem gives us the etymology, and he tells that it comes from the word namuch, namuch. Now, but namuch, it's not. You know, I don't know how he got the word namuch. There is no. There's a ches and a lamed. A ches and a lamed have nothing to do with the word namuch. So I don't know what he's saying. Same. Whatever he's saying, the same idea. It's a new word. A new word that we really have no connection to. We don't have any shoresh to explain what this word means. Ches, lamed, chaf, according to Rashi, according to Menachem, and according to the Mitzudoy Sefiyoin, it means a lowly person, a weak and lowly person. And the interpretation of the pasuk is the Rasha, he lies in ambush, and he's looking, he's hiding, he's safun, to take advantage of the vulnerable. Who are the vulnerable in this world? The people who are poor, are lowly, who are abused, they have no self-esteem, and they are always subject to abuse. Rashi disagrees. Rashi silently is saying, I don't know where in the world you made this quantum leap from a ches, a lamed, and a chaf to namuch, chalush. Where in the world did you get this? You pull this out of a hat. You're taking three letters and you're making up things they have absolutely no makar for. No source for this. Okay, let's see. Let's see. So what does Rashi say to review first? What does Rashi say? So what does Rashi do? Rashi says, the chaf is not part of the shoresh. Goodbye. Good luck. Out. The chaf is nothing more than cha. It's just the subject. So what's the only two letters left? The ches and the lamed. Oh, that's easy. Chel. Chel means money, wealth, power, and army. Now, what does the pasuk mean? The pasuk is not describing just Stam Russia. It's describing Esav Russia. Esav has his nemesis is the Jewish people, Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael are the chel. Oh, that's what you meant, Rabbi Kalm. Now I understand what you mean. The tzivois. So it says it's tzivosai. Now I understand what you meant to say. The it says it's tzivosai. Tzivosai means my army, my host, my army. Okay, many perush with the word tzivosai. We are the chel. We are the army of Hashem. Tzivois Hashem. I'm a member of the Lubavitcher Tzivois Hashem. I was probably one of the first earliest members. I probably have the card somewhere upstairs. And then it was a blue card. They sent me in the mail as a little kid. I signed up. It's Tzivois. I never made it past the private. Tzivois Hashem. They sent me a card in the mail. I was a proud card-carrying member of the Tzivois Hashem, going back before all of you were born.
When I was a kid, Birkhead, they had the famous guy in Sergeant Shabbos.
Yeah.
His name was
Cole.
Yeah.
He called himself Sergeant Shabbos. He showed up on the
Sergeant Shabbos.
Sergeant Shabbos.
Sergeant Shabbos. Okay, so lechelcha. So the lechelcha. Okay, okay.
Amalek did the same thing by zanem becha kol anechshalim acharecha.
The
becha kol anechshalim acharecha. Amalek is descendants of Esav, and he did he attacked
to attack the chel Hashem.
Ata ayef ve'yagia, ve'ata ayef ve'yagia.
And he attacked the Chel Hashem. Okay, so Rashi, he goes. It is a very beautiful parish. Yeshivam Rav Chatzedim b'Mitzvah Yaharoig Naki Einav L'Chelcha. The eyes of Esav is L'Chelcha Yitzpoinu. It will be easier to read the words out of order. The eyes of Esav Yitzpoinu are in hiding to do what? To attack your Chel Hashem. Your army. Okay, good. Now let's go to. Now you say Rabbi Mayavsky, he mentioned we should look at the Ibn Ezra. So let's look at the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra, Pasik Yud, Yeshev, call Oyrev who Yeshev, any Oyrev. Oyrev means the one who lies in ambush. Don't confuse an Oyrev with an Aleph, with an Ayin. There's an Oyrev with an Ayin and with an Aleph, a raven. The reason why I'm saying, because I was preparing today for the Shir.
Well, no, that he's talking about kikolech orei.
Orei means one of lies in ambush. Because I was preparing to think about the raven. The ritsuos have to be black, like an oirev. So I was learning about that today. So here I see the word oirev with an aleph. No, that's a one who lies in ambush. Not a raven. Okay, can there be a relationship between the two? Between the oirev and the oirev? There definitely is a relationship. There's there many mamari chazal, which darsh in words, and they're very loose in switching around an aleph and an ayin. Okay, the Orev was actually lying, going in circles in the ambush around the Teva. Okay, it was also, it's not, there's a similarity. You can't deny that similarity between the Orev and the Orev. They always said, the people they wish you should be Zoicha to Oysher ve Oysher. The question is, which one first? Oysher with an ayin is money. Oysher with an aleph is happiness. Okay, so you, the Zebracha, you should merit Oysher the Oysher. When you write that bracha, which one do you put first, the Ayin or the Aleph? It's a Freudian slip. What's more important to you, money or happiness? Ezeho Asher Hasemech Bechelkai. How many people really believe that? How many people have internalized that lesson? Let's go further. I want to tell you something very, very, very interesting. Someone told me a very interesting story. All right, it's not for now. Right after the thing was, I'm sorry for teasing you. Let's further. Every oirev sits in a place where there is no sham yishuv, where no one is there. Fine. V'ze oirev by yishuv. Ooh. So he's saying over here.
What are we doing
now? The Ibn Ezra, at the request of our Rebbe, Rabbi Mayevsky, Shulman Mayevsky, on page 89. The Ibn Ezra says a very powerful, there's so many things here, we only have to do that on that much. But the Ibn Ezra says a beautiful idea, and he says ordinarily a person who lies in ambush, it's guerrilla warfare. He puts on fatigues, camouflage fatigues, no one should see him. And he lies in ambush, he does not sit in the restaurant and in a nice
prominent position.
Nice three-piece suit and come and attack. A person who lies in ambush is typically out in the field in hiding. This enemy is so brazen, he's out in the open. He does the equivalent of planning to attack right out in front of you. In front of you. You see these videos of people looting all over the country? Looting? The brazenness. What people used to years ago. All these secret ways to break in and to steal, no one should get caught. Brazen thievery. Yeshev kol oirev hu yoshev makom shein sham yishuv ze oirev be yishuv. Now here comes the part that's really referring to. Lechelcha. What is this word? A very difficult word. Yesh oimim ki achof lenoichach hey. The chof is in place of the hey, which means what? This is means it's part of the subject. It's not, it doesn't mean anything.
In Hebrew we say shayachut. It's shayach lecha.
Shayach lecha. It's shayach to you. It's the suffix. The suffix here, refers to the subject. Fine, like exactly what? It's a different terminology. It's part of lenoichach, hey. It's part of the letter hey at the end of the word. It's not part of the shayrish. And this is, who said this? Rashi said this. And Rashi proved this from the Mesorah. Right? The Yesh lo hashvaleim al cheshoin hayud. I don't like this that Ibn Ezra says. Because if this was really true, then why is there no yud? Because ki bayis v'zayis v'layil ka'asher yis yisomichu. When you add the chof and the he at the end, lo yosur hayud. V'hinei b'chei lekoim, there should be, now that's a word later on in Pasuk, it's a word later on that's coming up very, very soon. Machloikis yesh ben ksiv likri. Im hi mila achas oishtayim uperush koim kumo nicho. Now that's already giving the answer. He's giving his answer. So first of all, let's go one thing at a time. This is why it's very, very hard to understand Ibn Ezra. If I'm not mistaken, I believe that the Ibn Ezra was not meant to be written as a sefer for us to read. It was private notes. I'm not mistaken, the Ibn Ezra never wrote this.
He wasn't a rabbi. He was a poet by profession. And then he started making comments on other people's writings. People used to send, like, what do you call it? The guy that wrote the Chadol Yisrael Malkut, they sent all of their poetry to the Payaton. They used to send it to him for criticism. And he would, like, mark it and tell them where they went wrong and not. But he fell out of disfavor in his government. He was kicked out of his country where he was. And he started to write some stuff in Hebrew. And a few rabbis noticed, this guy's a Talmud Chacham. They thought he was just a poet. He wasn't. He was the real deal. A rabbi or anything in a sense.
So what he wrote is very terse, extremely terse.
Very.
And because it was never meant to be written.
He wrote everything in code in his life. That was his style. You know, making late sonnets, making poetry that was, you know.
These are private notes. These are private notes, and somehow made their way into the Mikros Gedolos edition.
Other people took a look at what he wrote, and they said, this guy is smart.
So that's why I personally always shy away from learning in the Shir the Ibn Ezra, because it's extremely difficult many times to really understand what he means to say.
He would be shocked if he saw this.
If he came to Chias Mez and he saw that over here in the Miz, we have this beautiful volume over here, and on the page are his words, he would be shocked. He had no intent ever that what he's writing over here should appear in public. These are personal notes. And when you write personal notes, you don't write longhand. You don't try to clarify the thing for the common man to understand, even for the sophisticated person, what you're really trying to say. That's not my purpose. You're just writing personal notes. Someone came, polished it up to the best they could, and they put it in the sefer. So it's very, very terse. You don't know he's asking a question, giving an answer. It's back and forth. But over here, he's saying a rule. The rule over here is that if this is really what he means over here, it should be lechei, there should be a yud. The yud of between the ches and the lamed, where is it? Rashi says it's kmo chayil. At the end of Rashi, Rashi says the chaf and the hay, forget about it. That's just the subject. So what is the real word? The real word is chel. What is chel? Chel means chayil. Generally in Hebrew, you have to have three words to make a shorish. It's a cop-out to have two or three letters. You need three letters. Poal, pei, ayin, lamed. You can't just cop out and ignore the letters. You have to have three letters. Two letters is a very, very big b'dieved, and it always comes with a footnote of explanation. Oh, in this case, the shoresh really two words. So where is the shoresh? Bias. He gives all these different bias: zayis, lyle, night. So here, if the real word is chayil, so where's the yud? Just because you now want to take the word and you want to use it in a certain way and you want to add a chaf hay at the end in order to indicate who we're referring to, where is the yud? Where's the beef? What happened? It should say in the pasuk einav lechei lecha yitzpainu, the way we pronounce it, but the yud should be there. And then I would accept that, like Rashi, that he was referring to Esav HaRasha, and he's trying to take away from Hashem, Hashem's chayil. Who is Hashem's chayil? The Jewish people. The fact that the yud disappeared is an indication that the word that the word is not chayil. It's a different word. So what's the word going to be? So he says, what's going to be then? Kasha yud vehine. I'll tell you what the word is. Let's look at pasuk yud. In pasuk yud we have a new word called ches lamed chaf aleph yud mem. That's a whole different word. That's a whole different word. Machloikis, then that word. Oh, in other words, you want to answer one kasha with another kasha. That word's also a nightmare. That word also is going to require a lot of understanding is what exactly is the meaning of that word. Machlekes yesh ben kesiv likrid. This machlekes, we'll learn it soon. Im hi mila achas v'shtayim. Upeirish. But what does it mean there? In that word, we have a chaf, aleph, and a yud, mem. Kimo nechaim. Al mishkal. It's the same grammatical form of davim viravim, which means... That means poor. I think it means I don't know. What does it mean? What does it mean? Davim v'ravim. I don't know what that word means. Umedak.
What?
What?
Davim. Kevim. Somebody has pain.
Pain. Davim. Pain. Okay. Pain. And pain. So people who are in pain.
Cholim.
So it means like what the mitzudas, the merudim. It's exactly what it said. What it said. The Merudim. Oh, wait a minute. We have to stop here for a second. I see over here Harvey Babich is here. Dr. Babich. Wow. Have not seen you in a long time. Shalom Aleichem. Greetings. Welcome to
the
Kollel.
How are you feeling, Harvey?
Hey, give me some. Give me some time to get back to get on. But if you hear us, welcome. Welcome to the share.
Shalom Aleichem. Next step, you come in. You got to get a ride in. Harvey speak.
Okay, he's probably on mute. Okay, we'll talk to him soon.
Did you mention this Gzeich HaNishmas?
Yes, we're learning today, Rabbi Yisai, Lezeich HaNishmas, Mordechai Ben Tzvi. Mordechai Ben Tzvi is the name of the grandfather of two people in the Shir. How do you like that? When do you have a Shir like that? You have two people in the Shir who have named after the same person. Mordechai Ben Tzvi, may his neshama have an aliyah. He is the grandfather of.
Bienenstock and Mintz?
Correct.
Who are the two people?
Dr. Bienenstock and Rav Mordechai Mintz. Both of them.
He's also the Hilula of the Baba Sali.
Okay, Baba Sali is a chus yogin aleinu. We have a lot of announcements here today. Baruch Hashem. What?
He was the father of the two mothers were sisters.
So both of you are your grandparents, your cousins. Your first cousins, and this is your common grandfather.
Two mothers were sisters, very close.
May his neshama have an aliyah. Okay, so over here means the words davim viravim, which means pain. Davim means people who are suffering. And that's exactly what the Mitzudas David mentioned. The Mitzudas David, the Mitzudas Sion, they mentioned Davalibeinu, my heart aches. For this, so this is what they're both saying is that the Russia is yearning, he's hiding and waiting to take advantage of the people who are vulnerable, and who are those that are vulnerable? Those are the weak, the poor, and those who suffer. Fine, okay. So far, basically, the Ibn Ezra has basically reviewed for us in shorthand Rashi and Menachem. Rashi explained to us in just different words. Explained to us, and he, what he did though, the advantage of what we learned over here from the Ibn Ezra, the weakness. When you read Rashi, you say Rashi's right. If Rashi's right, why then was there ever a Mitzvah's David? They came along and gave another pshat. Why did Menachem not see the light? So at least the Ibn Ezra has revealed the flaw, has revealed the crack in the parish of Rashi. If Rashi is correct, where's the Yud? What happened to the Yud? The Shorish is Chayil. And don't go tell me, listen, you know, when you write, words, they disappear, you know? That happens all the time. We learned yesterday in Rashi. Rashi in the Chumash, there was a word that we learned, long Rashi, where a letter disappears. Sometimes an Aleph, it's a weak letter, or a Hay is a weak letter, remember? The Aleph is a weak letter. It just disappears. The Torah is not medactic to write all of the Alephs. That's what we learned yesterday, Farish and Rashi. So here also, this is, no. Ibn Ezra says, don't say that. Don't abuse a letter. A letter is there for a reason. Just because you're using the word in a unique form, the letter may not disappear. And he proves it.
So he believes, Beitcha, Zeitcha.
Beitcha, Zeitcha, Laila, the Yud, he proves it. Now, so that's already, so we have reviewed Rashi and the Ibn Ezra, Rashi and Menachem, and the Mitzudos. Now he says, Umedakte Godol, Omar.
I think the Rasha stole the Yud.
What?
The Rasha, at the beginning of
the Rasha. The Rasha stole the Yud.
He stole
the Yud. Very cute, okay, very cute. Very, very cute. Now, Umedakte Godol, Mechaberes Menachem. This is Menachem, okay? He's going, but he already told us Menachem. He writes over in the presence. He's Machberes Menachem. Omar, he calls him the Medactic. Isn't that very interesting? I never heard that before. Now you learn at least something new. Is that when Rashi quotes Menachem, Menachem is the Medactic Godol. That's the way the Ibn Ezra refers to Menachem. The Medactic Godol, Omar, ki chelikoim. That's again going further in Pasuk Yud. That word, Mila Achas, it's one word. Vehi meha pe'olim ha-ri-be'im. It's from the words. I don't know that. What does that mean? I don't know that. There's a grammatical term. I don't know what that means.
Four letters show it.
Four. Oh, okay. Okay.
Four letters.
Excellent. Umilas lichei liko komoha. Four letters. Vehahei tachas aleph. So it's saying here, so this is a very interesting principle, in grammar. Yeah. You know, we get in the difference between Aramaic and Hebrew in the feminine form. Oh, no, I tell you about nothing, in the masculine form. In Aramaic, many times in Aramaic, we use an aleph, where in Hebrew we would use a hey. For example, the Kiddush Rabbah. Okay, the great Kiddush. How do you say the word Rabbah, great, in Hebrew? Reish beis hey. How do you say Rabbah in? How do you say, oh, he has appeared? V'hoyu einecho rohi sesmerecha. Shalom aleichem. Welcome, Dr. Babich. It's nice to see you. It's good to see you.
To be seen. How are you feeling, Harvey?
Okay. Baruch Hashem. Mike's granddaughter's in my class.
That's right.
Okay. Very nice, smart person.
She takes after Joyce.
So the hay is not pasalic.
So what's the word? No, so this is just a general point. Many times in grammar, in Hebrew, there's a hay at the end, and in Aramaic, it's an aleph. Oraisa. The Oraisa. Oraisa ends with the letter aleph. Torah, what is Torah? Torah is tav, vav, resh, hay. But in Aramaic, we say Oraisa, and it ends with an aleph. Okay, that's a different word. It's a different word, but it does illustrate the principle. The Kiddusha Rabba. It's spelled Reish Beis Aleph. Rabba, the great in Aramaic. So he's saying over here, so in Hebrew, really, this is Hebrew. We're not learning Aramaic here, we're learning Hebrew. So in Hebrew, really, there should be an Aleph at the end. And it's, for some reason, whatever the reason is, sometimes the Pasuk, that's a different story, is substituting the Aleph for a Hey. But what is he revealing to us? So he's telling us the rules. Number one is there are four letters. There's a Sherish that has four letters. Ches, Lamed, Chof, Aleph. Ches, Lamed, Chof, Aleph. And that automatically makes this word exactly the same word as Pasuk Yud. In Pasuk Yud it says, Chel, Koim. Now in our Mesorah, if you turn the page Pasuk Yud, you'll see that it's two words. It's Chel, and then it's Koim. In the but the way it's spelled, if you have a tilin that on cloth and parchment, it's one word. And there's a machloikis amongst them in the Mesorah. Is this two words or is it one word? Now, if you learn that it's going to be two words, then it has one meaning, because we're out of time. We're not going to be able to go do this all now. Then have one meaning. If it's going to be one word, it's going to be. A different meaning. So now I don't know.
It's a chelka in plural. Berabim.
Now, if it's one word, if
chelka is single, chelka im
is plural. Berabim. No, but if it's, I think it has a different, it has an entirely different meaning. The word. If you learn that we have two words, just go look in the mitzudos. And pasuk yud yidke yoshoyach kafel lebal yag yoshoy avol mapil bekoychoy harav eswanim. He's mapil bekoychoy harav chal koim. If it's two words, the word koim means abundance. Koim means an abundance. If you learn that it's one word. If it's okay, the different opinions. This is over my head. I didn't prepare this. I need to spend more time preparing this. I don't know, but the basic point is, we have in the next pasuk an expression, and the expression is either it's going to be two words, chel koim, or it's going to be one word. If it's going to be one word, then we have a very great advantage. If it's one word, we have a word that has four letters. The word is Ches Lamed Chof Aleph. And whatever it means there, it will mean over here. Oh, you'll ask me, but over here it's spelled with a hey, and there it's spelled with an aleph. Maskil, don't have me on TikTok. Don't get me on TikTok. Just like there's a word, there's a four-letter word. I don't mean that in a bad way. Ches Lamed Chof Aleph. Here is exactly the same word. The only difference is, for whatever reason, there's an aleph and here there is a hey. However, if you want to learn later on, there are two separate words. Ches lamed is chel, and then comes the word koim. It has a whole different meaning. So what we've done over here, Ibn Ezra over here, and now we have to go define that word, and Mirat Hashem, and we'll come back with Neder. But the conclude over here is, it's really fascinating what we've done today. I don't think, I never remember such a thing like this. Where you have a word, and there's a machloikis. Does the word have two, this word, is it a word that has a sheresh of two letters? Is it a word that has a sheresh of three letters? Or is it a word that has a sheresh of four letters? Where do you ever have such a thing where there's a machlaikis in the Rishonim if the word has two, three, or four? You'll always hear a machlaikis between two or three. It's two or is it three? Usually it's three, sometimes two. But to have a word that's so unusual, where you have a discussion between the Mitzudas, Rashi, Menachem, and the Ibn Ezra, and to go tell you, oh, this word might be from the Rivaim, which has four letters, and don't get, and the four letters are Ches, Lamed, Chof, Aleph, and the fact that there is a Hey here is a minor difference, don't get worked up about that, but at least now we have what to work with. Let's now go study Pasuk Yud, fully comprehend the meaning of the word over there, and when we'll comprehend the meaning of the word over there, we'll now know what the word over here means as well. Rashi disagreed with that thoroughly. Rashi says the shorish of this word has two letters, finished, chel, and chel here means chayil, as if it really says chayil, Hashem's army, Hashem's power, which is Klal Yisrael. According to Menachem and according to the Mitzudos, no. This word has three letters. Ches, Lamed, Chof. What's the Hey? The Hey is just there as a suffix, but it's a three-letter, which word, which somehow relates to the word, the meek, the poor, the vulnerable, the impoverished. It means something along that. A unique pasuk, machlek is two, three, or four letters in the Sharish. Okay, we're going to stop here, take a short break. I want to talk afterwards about some very interesting things about the Ritzuis. The Ritzui shall fill in some good stuff from Rabbi Gottlieb. Be back in a minute. 60 seconds.